Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If imitation is the highest form of flattery, then you can bet your backside that Star Trek must have been very flattered when these series made it to air. I'm Sean Ferrick for Trek Culture, and here are 10 TV series that wanted to be Star Trek. Number 10, Space Precinct. Space Precinct was a Gerry Anderson production from the early 90s. Anderson had made previous series like Space 1999, Captain Scarlet, Stingray, and Thunderbirds. This, however, was a live-action sci-fi mixed with a police procedural. Anderson had created shows in the past that were primarily targeted at a younger audience, which is where the problems began for Space Precinct. Despite the outlandish makeup and prosthetics, which were nothing short of impressive, the show aimed at dealing with adult-oriented storylines. Taking its cue from Star Trek, it tried to paint a fantastical future with as much realism as it could, thoroughly confusing the networks. It then suffered the fate of Star Trek the Original Series' third season. Unsure how to market the show, the networks scheduled it to air either late at night or early in the morning. This led to low viewership, which in turn led to the show's cancellation after just one season. Number 9. Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. Glenn A. Larson, in his first appearance on this list, created Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, which revolved around the central character of Buck dealing with being both out of time and fighting extraterrestrial threats to Earth. Originally, it was a standalone film, though this was re-edited as a backdoor pilot once the studio decided to push ahead with the series. It received two seasons worth of stories, with the second of these being the more heavily Star Trek-influenced one. The first season had Buck located primarily on Earth, working as an unofficial agent for the Federation's security. The show also featured space travel via Stargates, though it was also referred to as warp travel. In the second season, Buck was now leading a crew aboard the Searcher. The ship's mission was to seek out the lost colonies of mankind, an idea that Larson had already used in Battlestar Galactica. It was this year that the Star Trek ideas really sunk in. Buck was modeled closely on James T. Kirk, with his crewmate Hawk serving as Mr. Spock. The show was cancelled due to lower ratings, difficulties with the main actor, and rising costs. Number 8. Sliders. Sliders debuted in 1995, ran for 5 years, and was mostly successful for its lifetime. Several Trek stars would appear, including John Rhys-Davies and Jerry O'Connell, two of the leads from the very beginning. The show explored the nature of parallel worlds, moving from week to week attempting to get to a home they feel is lost. There are very obvious shades of Star Trek Voyager in the premise. Voyager 2 was lost in a far-flung part of the galaxy, trying each week to get home. Though Sliders has probably more in common with Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell's Quantum Leap than anything else, the Trek connections are present. In addition to this, the show was in part developed by Tracy Torme, who had worked on Star Trek The Next Generation as a scriptwriter. According to Rhys-Davies, the show began as an exceptional premise that explored the nature of reality, not unlike the human condition that was so frequently explored in Star Trek. However, the show's cancellation by Fox after its third season and subsequent acquisition by the Sci-Fi Network resulted in a more action-oriented show, which he felt ruined the potential that it had. The show was finally cancelled for a second time at the end of the fifth season with an unresolved cliffhanger. Number 7. Sequest DSV. Sequest DSV arrived in 1993, airing on NBC. It focused on the submersible vehicle Sequest, which had been designed and built by its captain, Nathan Bridger, who was played by movie star Roy Scheider. The first season, though set in the near future, was almost as educational as it was entertaining, opting to deal with real-world scientific issues. When the second season returned, Scheider was deeply frustrated to find that the network opted to move the show into a more science fiction direction. Aliens were introduced to the storylines, including the finale, which saw the vessel abducted and brought into the future. Scheider was publicly vocal about his displeasure, which prompted the showrunners to release scathing responses. Though the show attempted to skew toward a straight, darker tone, much like the then-airing Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Scheider asked to be released from his contract due to, as he called it, the show's attempt at becoming a fourth-generation Star Trek, leaving the show as a sort of 21 Jump Street meets Star Trek. He was replaced with Michael Ironside for the third season, but failing ratings resulted in the show's cancellation. Number 6. Stargate SG-1. I love Stargate SG-1. It was brilliant, and everyone should love it. Go and rewatch it now. Stargate SG-1, the first spin-off from the 1994 film, is at times one of the most loving tributes to Star Trek that that series has ever received. SG-1 famously lampoons itself on occasion, being self-aware enough to make reference to that other franchise that it takes so much inspiration from. This is evident in the number of references that Jack O'Neill makes to Trek through the years. One of the funnier references was his request to name the new Earth starship the Enterprise, only to be slapped back by Samantha Carter. This, however, is nothing compared to the tribute shown in the 200th episode, aptly named 200. An episode that deals with a series of vignettes, one part as Mitchell, Carter, Teal'c and Jackson on board the Odyssey, portraying over-the-top caricatures of William Shatner, James Doohan and the rest of the original series cast. For a show that made so many knowing nods through its runtime, this was one of the funniest scenes in the franchise, offering that chance for long-term Trekkies to laugh at themselves as well. The two further spin-off series were less Star Trek related, but still managed to throw in the odd transporter jokes from time to time.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Number 5. Battlestar Galactica. Battlestar Galactica owes more than a passing debt to both Star Trek and Star Wars. Coming in the 70s, it borrows heavily from both, though the apocalyptic setting was its own individual contribution to the drama. The series, opening with the destruction of most of mankind, is a parable about the dangers of over-reliance on technology. This is seemingly at odds with Roddenberry's vision. However, it stars Lorne Greene as Commander Adama, a no-nonsense leader from whom all the crew draw their strength. There are clear hints of James T. Kirk in the character, coming on the heels of both the original series and the animated series. The series is deeply rooted in the 70s aesthetic, so in a way it also served as something as an inspiration for Star Trek the Motion Picture, though the effects available for a TV budget were, to put it mildly, lacking. The ambition was greater than the execution. Having said that, Battlestar Galactica is far from a failed copy of Star Trek. The idea behind the show, drawn from Glenn A. Larson's own religious upbringing, would go on to inspire Trek writer Ronald D. Moore to reboot the franchise in 2003. The result was one of the greatest television series of recent years, offering a grim look at humanity from the inside out. Number 4. Earth, Final Conflict. Earth Final Conflict is in fact a Gene Roddenberry original, though the creator died years before the show would ever see the light of day. He had, however, been approached years previously to develop the project which was then known as Battleground Earth. The success of the Star Trek films and the then upcoming Next Generation made Roddenberry too busy to work on it. Majel Barrett retained the notes to the show, and it was from these that Earth Final Conflict was born. The show opens 3 years after the arrival of the Talon to Earth. This seemingly benevolent race has brought technological advancements to humanity, though a sinister plot lies behind their kindness. The Talon are the dark side of the Vulcans. The Vulcans arrived on Earth bringing technological advancements, though they were far less sinister than the Talon. They were simply prickly, but the Talon were pricks. The series then morphed into an alternate version of the Cardassian occupation of Bajor, with frequently appearing resistance cells attempting to take the Talon down. Various other alien races appeared throughout the show, with many aiding and others collaborating with the Talon themselves. The show was well received, and its success led to the creation of the next entry on this list. Number 3. Andromeda. Andromeda was another idea from Roddenberry's vault that was given life in the 90s. Majel Barrett produced the show, with former Deep Space Nine writer Robert Hewitt Wolf serving as showrunner. It centred around Captain Dylan Hunt and his ship, the Andromeda Ascendant. The premise for the show saw a huge commonwealth of worlds spread across three galaxies. The parallels to the Federation are obvious here, though Andromeda took a darker turn. In the pilot, Hunt winds up on the edge of a black hole where he and his ship are frozen in time. When he is saved by the crew of the Eureka Maru, 300 years have passed. The crew agrees to serve under him, much like the Maquis in Star Trek Voyager. The show then becomes a mix of episodes of the week, like the original series and The Next Generation, with overarching plot lines that ran throughout the show, like Deep Space Nine. In the second season, Hewitt Wolf was released from his contract, later explaining that his refusal to make the show more Hunt-centric led to his firing. The show was an obvious inspiration for Firefly that followed, while itself being inspired by the Trek that had come before. Number 2. Babylon 5. Don't come at me. This entry may ruffle some feathers, and for good reason. There has been a long-standing rivalry between the Babylon 5 and Star Trek fandoms. Each side accuses the other of plagiarism, though there is in fact little evidence to support it. However, the similarities between Babylon 5 and Star Trek Deep Space Nine cannot be overlooked. In many ways, Babylon 5 is both classic Trek, new aliens every week, an overarching threat of interstellar war, silly hairstyles, and something quite bold and different. The setting of the station, like Deep Space Nine, allowed the series to tell serialized stories, dealing with the consequences of character actions while still moving the story forward. Though the beginning of the show was fraught with issues and accusations, the two franchises eventually warmed to each other. Actors were shared between them, serving as olive branches, not just to the showrunners, but to the two fandoms who were at times ready to go to war with each other. Any excuse to see Walter Koenig in that interesting hairpiece is a treat, let's be honest. Number 1. The Orville. You knew this one was coming. The Orville is creator Seth MacFarlane's long-gestating love letter to Star Trek. To say that it's inspired by the franchise is the understatement of the century. MacFarlane time and again has been vocal about his love for Gene Roddenberry's long-running saga. The Orville came at a time when Star Trek was continuing to get darker. In many ways, it's the antithesis of Star Trek Discovery, and a more slapstick comedy version of The Next Generation, from which it took many markers and directions. While the comedy aspect is quite different from what one might see on the Enterprise, the show is meticulous in how it presents this brighter future. It relies heavily on its ensemble cast, something that Star Trek is at its best when it manages. The interpersonal relationships offer feature strife, which was against Roddenberry's hope for the future, though in line with just about every writer on Trek. The visuals are a callback to the actual models of the 80s and 90s without relying too heavily on CGI. Its episodic nature is straight off the classic Star Trek playbook. The series is considered by many, like Galaxy Quest in the movie universe, to be an unofficial entry in Trek canon. Quite a feat coming from a self-confessed fanboy who just wanted to see a brighter future.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.